I mean, it's ridiculous. I think this has been a wrenching episode for Bruce Arians. Wrenching. He's going to do damage. You can't dance around. You can't argue it. He's killing people. Oh, my. The pain's all over his face. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Buccaneers fans, here we are, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the first podcast of the new year, and man, there's a lot happening. The Bucs are 12-4. Ira, as always, is undefeated, just like Bill Curry Ford, 61-plus years, right there, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan is ready for you. He's got your Ira Kaufman discount. He's got your nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com is the place to shop. Just ask for Sean Sullivan. He'll treat you like you're his brother, his favorite brother. It's time to order that beautiful Ford Bronco, Maverick, whatever it is. BillCurryFord.com. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and Florida's Elite Restoration. Memorize the name, memorize the website, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That is exactly where you go when you have any kind of disaster in your home. Call them up. They'll get to you immediately with a free assessment as you guzzle a Big Storm beer and try to deal with the problem at hand. Ira, the Bucks have their own problems. Maybe not. Maybe things are much better now that Antonio Brown is gone. That's unclear. But Bucks fans, of course, know the madness that's been swirling ever since Brown did jumping jacks and ran off the field in a huff. He was at the New Jersey Nets game the other night. He never left the city. Wild times, Ira. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's become a mental health expert, a Buccaneers expert. Everybody seems to know what's going on, when I think the one thing we can all agree with is that nobody knows what's going on. What say you, Ira?
Well, I think the one thing we can agree on is that good riddance. Because you guys did a flash poll, you know, following the NFL suspension. Overwhelmingly, Buck fans wanted Antonio Brown on this team. And in lieu of his meltdown on Sunday, overwhelmingly, Buck fans support Bruce Arians' decision to kick him off the team. And speaking of that decision, I don't know if you guys saw my tweet yesterday. Got a lot of responses. Nobody else in this Tampa Bay media would ever even think about writing a tweet like that, but I threw it out there. Jason Light, if you're listening to this podcast, get off your rump. People want to know what the hell's going on with Antonio Brown, the decision-making process, what you're going to do with this guy. And instead, Bruce Arians is left to answer all the questions by himself. Now, Lee, before you jump in, let me remind you, this is a personnel decision. Jason Light is in charge of Buck personnel, not Arians. Jason Light. Arians' job is to use the guys that Light gets him. Jason Light, where are you? I want you answer questions and give a little support to your head coach, who's been through the ringer. And Lee, I think it's clear to me, if not you, that Arians wanted to dump Brown after the vaccination fiasco. He wanted to dump him. That was his inclination. Dump him. And things changed. Brady factor is huge. And don't forget, Lee, the Bucs made the decision to keep Brown before Chris Godwin got hurt. Before Godwin got hurt. So this has been one giant mess. Good riddance to Brown. I can't believe somebody would pick him up. I just can't believe it. Maybe it'll happen. I'd be shocked. He's done. And Lee, I think he's really hurt his Hall of Fame chances. We'll get into that in another podcast. But I see some parallels with Terrell Owens. And you know what, Lee? He wasn't as good a player as Terrell Owens. He doesn't have the body of work Owens has, so none of it is good for Antonio Brown.
Ira, once again, you gave me such a buffet to tee off on. I need to start taking notes here because I don't know where to start and I don't want to miss anything. I would have got rid of Brown because, to me, you quit on your team, that's tantamount to throwing a game. So, goodbye. Good riddance? No way in hell I could say that, because there went your Super Bowl chances. When Antonio Brown ran through the tunnel of MetLife Stadium, so too did your Super Bowl defending chances. It's gone. NFL.com tried to write an article. They don't need, the Bucs don't need Brown. Cyril Grayson can replace him. Tyler Johnson can replace him. Dude, lay off the bourbon. I'm not saying, I'm not defending Light. I'm not criticizing Light. I just don't understand what Light has to do with this. To me, it's all between Arians and Brown. To me, it's, you know, when Brown was topless doing jumping jacks in the end zone, that was it. So I don't get why Light's being involved in this. Hall of Fame. Hell yeah, I think he's better than Terrell Owens. He was on multiple winning teams. He was on a Super Bowl winner. Yeah, he melted down at the end. Quit on Pittsburgh. Quit on the Bucks. Freaked out with John Gruden. Got tossed off the Patriots. But he was always on winning teams. Helped winning teams win. Had Vontaze Burfict not went headhunting on him. The Steelers might have won a Super Bowl with him. So I think he's better than Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, to me, was an absolute cancer, a menace to football. He is everything what football should not be about. I'm not a Terrell Owens guy any way, shape, or form. I don't give a F what he did for someone on Madden. I am so anti-Terrell Owens, it ain't funny. No, I would take Brown and his antics any day over Terrell Owens. So you set me up. I took a few swings. There you go.
Steve, just to clarify the Jason Light reference, I would assume before Arians went to the podium post-game, he at least had a discussion with Jason Light and the game was over before he said that Antonio Brown's off this football team. Now, I'm not saying Jason Light should have ran over to the post-game podium, but he could have showed up on Monday to answer questions. This is a big story. It's everywhere. It was on the national news last night. The national news. I just think that at this moment, we need Light to shed some light into what's going on. He knows everything. And Steve, he's the personnel guy. Is he or is he not?
Of course he is, Ira. Look, it's a media relations nightmare. And I think really that's what you're talking about on that front. No planning whatsoever. Just tell Bruce Arians to go out there and say, Antonio Brown quit on his team. End of story. Jason's going to talk a little bit later about the personnel side of it and how the moves work. No Antonio Brown questions. He quit. That's it. But they didn't do that. They left Arians flapping in the wind. No plan. Where's Light to answer the questions that Arians gets saying, well, that's a Jason question or whatever. It's a nightmare. They had a crisis. They didn't know how to handle it. And that's okay. You know, it doesn't matter for Bucs fans on the field, but in the realm of what you're talking about, Ira, they get an F on the media relations front. So I'll put it out there that way.
Maybe it's just me. The optics say it all. I don't need Light to step up there and say, Antonio Brown's not with the team. No! Really? I still don't get it. I don't need Light to tell me what I already saw. It's like the old Archie Bunker all in the Family line. When they're trying to watch some kind of TV program in the bar and Dan Rather comes on after they have a press conference and they say, oh, he's here to tell us what we just heard.
Well, it's the same reason. Why do you have Jason Light at a free agent signing conference? Hey, we like the guy. We all know why you signed him. You like him. You think he can play. I mean,
I don't think it's even remotely close. We didn't see what Light saw in signing a guy. The country has seen why the Bucs cut Brown.
I'm talking about strictly Ira's point of not letting the coach hang out there flapping and letting things get maybe a little confusing for fans. Let Jason talk about the personnel decision as it relates to the fact that he's still on the team and what they're going to do with him and what's next and all that stuff.
You would rather have Light talk than Arians? You know Light's awful at press conferences. Arians is a loose cannon.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the organization, what Ira's talking about, which is, putting clear messages out there. That's all.
To me, the message was clear. He's off the team. Maybe it's just me. The visuals and the actions speak for themselves. Brown's gone. Brown was an idiot.
Brown's not
Brown
gone.
Brown quit on his team. I don't understand. Like, well, you know, we decided this. I have to apologize. I don't understand why there has to be an explanation.
It's an ongoing story, Lee. He's still a Buccaneer.
Well, that's just a technicality. Come on. They don't want to pay him. That's got nothing to do with the team as far as the on-field presentation. Doesn't have anything to do with the preparing.
It has a lot to do with the team if Antonio Brown shows up to rehab at $1 where they're still responsible.
You think they're going to let him in?
They're responsible to let him in if he's injured. They have to. That's a league rule. You got to let your injured player rehab if he wants to come in and rehab.
I'm sorry. You might want to move on to a different subject because I just don't get it, and I'm stuck, and I don't understand. I apologize.
All right, two quick points. One, Lee, there were times when Arians was asked a question, I believe yesterday, when his answer was, you got to ask Jason Light about that. That happened. He brought up Jason Light's name. How are you going to ask him if he's not available? Lee, he's not available. Sure.
Where was the outrage when Dirk Cutter say that almost every week? Well, that's a Jason question.
I'm not interested in Dirk Cutter at this point. And second, Lee, why have you come to this revelation that you want Brown off this team? Can't you repair this situation? Why have you turned on him?
Ira just said why. He quit on the team.
So you talk to him, you repair it. You got him ready for the playoffs.
To me, it's over with.
You were a staunch defender. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I defended him because he helped the Bucks win. Thank God. I will embrace him till my dying days. He helped the Bucks win a Super Bowl. I will never, ever forget that. He will have a spot in my heart for that. But you know what? When you quit on your team, bye.
Ira, do you agree with Lee's premise that the Bucks Super Bowl chances are now gone because Antonio Brown's gone? I don't think that way. I don't really think...
Not fully gone, but... 90% chance they don't repeat.
I would say they're diminished, maybe severely diminished, but diminished. No question about it. I'm with Leon and Cyril Grayson. Let's take it easy.
Story.
Great story. That was a tremendous pass by Brady, by the way. Fantastic pass by Brady.
Wow, yeah.
And on the 3rd and 20 pass to Grayson, another great pass by Brady. Guys, we've said this all year, but it's never been more true. It has never been more true than January 4th. It's all about Brady. He's the only reason, Steve, the only reason this team has any chance to repeat. It's Tom Brady. That's it. It's Tom.
Yeah.
Literally, it ends there.
Ira, come on. This is driving me crazy. I can't handle this stuff. I'm going to tell you why right now. And it's not just you specifically, Ira. But first, let me remind everybody, Big Storm Beer, and I'll be drinking a lot of it shortly here. Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to find all the great beers and the beer near you. And Florida's Elite Restoration.com, your first spot, your first phone call, 24/7 when you find a flood, mold, fire in your home. Not fire, you call the fire department, but when you have that kind of damage from a disaster, you need someone you can trust in the business to call immediately.
If you even think you might have a problem with water or mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first call has to be Florida's Elite Restoration.
And of course, Bill Curry Ford, that's the standard in Florida for Ford dealerships, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, I get what you're saying about Tom Brady, but you could say that for every single top playoff team. What are the Rams without Matt Stafford? Who's going in there? The Packers are only who they are because of Aaron Rodgers. Dallas, Dak Prescott is phenomenal. Where are they going without him? So to me, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. We know that this team is offensive driven. This isn't Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson. Not that there was anything wrong with Brad Johnson. I'm not knocking him, but he wasn't the driving force of the team. But it's the quarterback. I mean, come on. I mean, the Bucs have plenty. I'm much more worried about what's going on defense than Brady making it all work here. I don't know. It's just like it's a given.
Steve, what's going on? You need a Kolsch over there, Steve, at Big Storm. Did Isbitz just mention Brady and Matt Stafford in the same sentence, Lee?
I know you don't like Stafford, but I see where Steve's coming from, but it still doesn't make what you said, Ira, wrong.
Steve, this guy, the Bucks played like garbage for 50 minutes. Garbage. Now, I don't care that they were playing the Jets. They played like garbage, and they won the game. Why? Because Brady never gave up, Steve. The other guys get confidence from him because of his pedigree. And, look, you mentioned Rodgers. I'm not going to knock Rodgers. You mentioned the Rams. Steve, they got the best defensive player in football in Aaron Donald, one of the all-timers. This guy could be one of the 10 best players in NFL history, Aaron Donald. He might win Defensive Player of the Year again this year. I got a vote in a week. I'm leaning towards voting for him again. They got Jalen Ramsey. They got the best receiver in football this year. The Bucs don't have that kind of stuff. So don't give me any nonsense about Matt Stafford. Lee, the Bucs will go as far as Brady will tell them. Steve, we're going to talk about this for the next 2 weeks, but if I'm a betting man, I'm not betting on the Bucs to repeat. There's nothing wrong with that. They're not going to win it every year. They don't have the look of a champion, Steve, right now. They don't have it.
Got injuries all over the place. And I understand what you're saying, Ira. I know I agree with Ira. Brady is the straw that stirs the drink with this team, especially when you got your wide receivers ravaged. They don't win that game without Brady. I don't see that as being some outrageous comment that if the Bucs are contending, it's because of Brady. I think it's accurate.
Of course it's accurate, but it's like saying Ira likes French fries. It's just meaningless in the lexicon of life.
Tater tots.
I mean, what does it do? I don't really know. Ira, I'm way more concerned about the Bucs defense against a horrible Jets team and the offense led by Brady against a horrible Jets defense, last in the league. It's like the old Peyton Manning thing when they praise him for a fourth quarter comeback and his NFL leading fourth quarter comebacks. He would reply, "It just means I sucked in the first few quarters."
Bingo.
So they're not looking like a champion because in a must-win game, barring a couple of literally game-saving tackles by Antoine Winfield Jr. and a fourth and two where they call a quarterback sneak against Vita Vea and run right at him. I don't know who thought that up on the Jets, but I mean, it was a miracle that they got out of this game. And obviously a lot of that miracle ties to Tom Brady's incredible poise on that final drive. It's worth watching over and over again, because look who they're doing it with. A Tyler Johnson, 3 catches on that drive, Cyril Grayson and Le'Veon Bell. I mean, whoever would have thought that would be the case. It's a team win, but the defense has serious problems, and I would knock the Bucs in their quest to get to the title because they have no pass rush right now.
Your points are well taken, Steve. And Lee, you know, beyond this game, the Bucs tackling this season, Lee, has been lousy. Lousy. And I know it's tough to run on it, but there's been too many games, Lee, where they take bad angles. They don't wrap up. I don't know what Minter was doing out there Sunday, Lee. Devin White was bad. Minter was worse. Tryon's everywhere. He's a rookie. I'm going to give him a pass. They miss JPP as a run defender, Lee. They do.
Oh, yeah.
No Barrett equals no pass rush. Defense is in trouble, Lee. You know, they were playing a pop gun offense. The Jet quarterback looked good. He converted 4th, 3rd downs on that second drive. That's a disgrace. Running up the gut, running around, and they really miss Lavonte David. I don't know if he's coming back. Maybe, maybe not. They really miss him because he's probably the best tackler on the team in terms of form tackling. I'm with Steve. You know, the defense has played some good games, but I don't really trust them in a big moment.
Ira, is Devin White sort of lost without Lavonte David?
It's starting to look that way, Lee. It really is. For whatever reason, you know, and you can talk about scheme and responsibility. Steve, whatever you want to talk about. It has not been a good season for Devin White. You throw in some physical problems that he's had, and I just think it's been a lot to deal with White, and it's really showing up on the field.
I'll say this about Kevin Minter. He's fine unless he has to get to the edge, and then he's too slow. You know, he makes some good plays, some good tackles. There are a couple of good plays on film in that game, but there are two when he has to get to the outside, he doesn't look good. There's a speed problem there. Devin White, we've talked about it before. We don't need to rehash it. Bruce Arians himself clarified yesterday that he's healthy. Oh, no, don't say he's healthy. He just didn't have a good game. He's healthy, though.
Right.
That explosion and that fire that we saw on the field last year, it hasn't been back in the same consistent way. And I really think part of it might be Devin White being forced into a full season with some being banged up, whereas the previous 2 years, he had time off with an injury that he came back fully from. And then last year, he got the 2 weeks off with COVID, got to refresh himself. And it's just been a different kind of season, rushing the passer. He doesn't have a forced fumble. And it's kind of a weird game to not show up against the Jets, them being able to run the ball like that. But we'll see what he delivers going forward. He's a good player, and hopefully he can get back to great. He's 23 years old. It would not shock anybody if he just exploded in the playoffs. Maybe that'll happen. Ira, on the field in that game, you know, look, we know the heroic story of Cyril Grayson and all that stuff. Ronald Jones gets hurt with an ankle issue. Le'Veon Bell stands out with obviously good, mature hands. And now we find out that Keyshawn Vaughn, who's led the team in rushing the last 2 weeks, is now got a rib injury and he may not play. Arians is talking about using Le'Veon Bell and Kenyon Barner at running back coming up, and who knows what's going on going forward. It may be a situation where Brady has to help carry a team again with Mike Evans not being 100%, a couple of nobody guys at receiver otherwise, Gronk and not much at running back. What do you see the offense now?
I think there's one pillar that's still standing. There's not a lot of them, but there's one pillar, and it's a big one. The O-line. The O-line's intact. I'm voting for All-Pro next week. I'm thinking about putting Tristan Wirfs' name down again, even though he may be not quite as good as 2020. Still damn good. I watched him time and again on Sunday. He's burying people. He's killing people. They're in a different zip code than Brady, the guy coming off the left edge. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're healthy up front, Lee. And the byproduct of that is Brady has time. And Lee, when Brady has time, I don't care if it's Cyril Grayson, Tyler Johnson, Scott Miller, or whoever else you want to throw in there. He's going to do damage. But overall, Lee, they just look like a team that's battered going into the postseason. Looks like it's not going to happen. And Lee, you know my theme over the years. I've always said, I said, Buck fans don't want to hear it, but they've been very, very lucky overall, relatively speaking, on the injury front. And you can't say that anymore. They've been killed, maybe not as much as Baltimore, might be another team, but they're right up there. They're in the top five and getting ravaged. And that hasn't happened to the Bucks in a long, long time. You know, they got Scott's tape right now. Scott's tape, running back, receiver, linebacker, D-line. I think it's too much, Lee. Just too much.
I can't disagree with you, Ira.
I'm not that negative, guys. I still have faith. You're bringing me down. Let's change the subject.
Ira, you mentioned a name I got to ask you about. Have you filed a missing persons report on Scotty Miller?
And the funny part is they really need him. They really do need him.
That's what I mean. And he's on the roster. He's active. And yet he never took one snap on offense Sunday.
Boy, what a story, Scotty Miller. He made so many big plays down the stretch last year. They probably don't win the Super Bowl without Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
In some ways, what a difference a year. And that's a perfect example, Lee, of somebody not capitalizing on an opportunity. It really is. And as far as, Lee, week 18, you know, the Panthers are the Panthers. They're playing out the string. As you astutely pointed out, their owner, David Tepper, probably doesn't even want him to win the game. He would never say that. Go to Tampa and lay down. Get the best draft pick we can get. And they might need another quarterback. Who knows? But Arians is going to play his guys. And you said it last week, Lee. I think you're right. You got to trust Arians. You might disagree with some of this. Sit this guy. Sit that guy. Sit Mike Evans. He's not going to do it. Sit Ndamukong Suh. I'm not going to argue with Bruce Arians at this point, Steve. He's seen it all. He's been on a lot of playoff teams. In his opinion, you lose a little bit when you sit a guy. He's not going to do it. Doesn't mean they're not going to, you know, substitute, you know, ahead 30-7. But I got no problem with Arians' philosophy right now.
You can't quibble with the Super Bowl 12-4. Hello. But, you know, he's done a lot of good things, and obviously the team is together. Let me go back to Antonio Brown for a minute, Ira. A couple of things that I think are important. first, because we're talking about the team and it's getting ready for the playoffs, do you think there are a few questions you can hammer out the answers? I'll bang out the three questions here. One, do you think it's possible, given all the different reports, that maybe team chemistry and just the team in general will improve with Antonio Brown leaving, because maybe he's been a crazy cancer the last 10 days? We don't know. But it seems like at least that's possible. And Tom Brady has gone out of his way twice, once at his news conference, once at his podcast, to really stress to everybody without actually saying it that, hey, Antonio Brown is a mess right now. He's got mental problems, and be gentle with him. I have to think that might have been an issue within the team, or maybe even distracting Brady a little bit. Number two, cornerbacks. We've talked many times on the podcast about how when the Bucs are without their starting corners, they fall apart and the defense looks terrible. Well, there was that wacky story of Jamel Dean and Murphy Bunting not showing up until like right before kickoff because of flight issues with COVID and their private flight and all that stuff. Dean only played about a third of the snaps, and Murphy Bunting only played like 8 or 10 snaps yesterday. So essentially they were back to that mess on defense when the corners weren't there. Do you think that could be a major factor? And would we be saying something totally different now if Dean and Murphy Bunting played full time in that game and the Bucs beat the Jets, 24-10?
Well, I think having the three or four cornerbacks is significant only if you got a good pass rush. Then you got the makings of a good pass defense. But we've seen, again, Lee, even when Dean and Bunting and Davis are available, if the rush goes AWOL, they're exposed, just like anybody. I'm not saying the Bucs are any different than anybody else. To me, the pass rush is much more important than having Sean Murphy Bunting in the lineup. That's just me. Steve's first point, Lee, I think is very intriguing about the chemistry issues. I know your feelings about chemistry, Lee, but I think Brady's been humbled a little bit. Lee, I think Brady's humbled in this regard. And Lee, if anybody knew that Antonio Brown needed help, it was Tom Brady. But it looks like he didn't do anything about it. And I think he feels a little guilty in that regard. Because now he's talking about compassion, get him the help he needs. And Lee, I think it's far-fetched to think that there were problems in the locker room with Antonio Brown this season. I don't think that's implausible. I think it's probably likely. They overcame it. They won 12 games. You know, Brown was effective when he played. But anytime that guy's involved, there's friction. And in a way, on the field, they're going to miss him. But I think this might be a top team without him.
Ian Rapoport was on Total Access last night. Number one, he said various members of the Bucs reached out to Brown after the chaos and basically offered, okay, do you need me to come to your house? Do you need me to call some? Do you need me to set up an appointment? Whatever. They offered assistance, not just players. Rapoport wasn't specific, but he said members of the organization and players. Brown declined all offers. Okay. And by the way, I'm done here, and he needs help. If he doesn't want help, let him go. I love my old man's standard for if you're crazy or not. Can you count change? I love that standard. If you can count change, then you're not that crazy. Also, in the Rapoport's report, he claimed Brown had a blow up in the locker room at halftime. So what you're saying, Ira, is actually, if his report's accurate, and I don't have any reason not to believe it, your guess is correct. Now, here's the juicy part, the third thing. Here's the juicy part. And you've said time and again, Brown was here because of Brady. And you're not wrong. Michael Lombardi yesterday on his podcast, and at times in the past, he has given strong hints that he communicates with Brady, I guess by text. They work together in New England. So, all right. Lombardi said he, quote unquote, talk to people in Tampa. Interpret that however you wish. Lombardi claims Brady turned on Brown. That even Brady got fed up with it. And if that's correct, then Brown's strongest advocate in the organization threw his hands up and gave up on him.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask the same question I asked a year and a half ago. I still don't have a good answer. Steve, what was this unbelievable bond between Brady and Brown? I never understood it. Steve, it's not like he threw to the guy for 5 years and won three Super Bowls with him. I'm talking about March of 2020 when Arian said he's not a good fit, and here comes Brady. What was this unbelievable, unshakable chemistry between Brady and Brown? I still haven't figured it out, Steve.
I can answer that one easily. That's the easy one. It's the same chemistry that John Gruden looked at Brown, studied his film, watched him practice, and said, I have to have this guy, even though my disciple, Mike Tomlin, knows that this guy's is a head case and walked out on him, and we know that he's not the best guy. I'm addicted to what I see on the film. Bill Belichick, I got to sign this guy. He's too good. And Brady knows that he looked at Antonio Brown, and he is like, crack, I got to win another Super Bowl. This guy's incredible. This guy, it's like football crack. And so he saw the greatness, and obviously he got to know Brown a little bit and was probably very intrigued by his work ethic and who he was. And I'm sure they are and were excellent friends. And it just goes back to the addiction to winning, because this guy is that good, which is why I think, Ira, I know the Hall of Fame, this is going to be very interesting, and it's something we can talk about down the road, especially after this year's Hall of Fame vote is announced. But I know the Hall of Fame voters are supposed to adhere strictly to a player's behavior on the field and his performance, not if he's a jerk off the field. That's the bylaws. So this Antonio Brown situation is unique because he's had a couple of incidents literally on the field, like we saw the other day. Quitting on the field sort of counts as on the field. So that may be something that hurts him on that front. But on the playing front, his numbers, I think he's already a slam dunk for a variety of reasons. But Ira, I will say this, because there's been a lot of talk in the media and everywhere about, you know, mental health and all this stuff. And nobody's discounting mental health, but Bruce Arians noted yesterday in sort of a hidden TV interview with Dan Lucas that the Bucs have two psychologists on staff for players, two. So it's there, it's available for him, and Brown obviously has the money for to seek help. And if he doesn't want help, he doesn't want help, and it seems like he may have a problem. But you know what? It's also fair to say that, hey, maybe he's just a bad guy. You know, maybe he's just an asshole, and this is how he behaves. And it's also fair to say that I know I've worked with plenty of people in different places, especially when I was especially people when I was younger, who would quit and just walk off the job. And you know, I don't think anybody ever thought they needed mental help. They were just annoyed and left, and that's the kind of person they were. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Brown, but he's not a Buccaneer anymore. Well, he is, I guess, until they officially decide to get rid of him. But I think that goes to the obsession, Ira, just how good he is.
I guess the mystery for me is that he never really produced with Brady. It was such a short period of time, Lee. So I didn't, you know, see where Brady got a firsthand look at how Brown's, you know, back to his prime. I didn't see that connection being long enough where he knew that Brown could help him. Now, I will say, Lee, and you can't argue this. You can't argue it. He helped him get a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And you can't argue that. But I think he's hurt this team a little bit this season. I think he's hurt them a little. And, Lee, there's probably more shenanigans behind the scenes that has not been revealed. I think this has been a wrenching episode for Bruce Arians. Wrenching. He had to weigh Tom Brady's support. He had to weigh the chance to win another Super Bowl, which would be better with Brown on the field. He had to weigh, you know, national guys taking pot shots at him for giving Brown another chance after the NFL suspension when he said, one screw up and you're gone. This has been a very, very difficult time for Bruce Arians. We should not forget that. To me, the pain's all over his face. Starting with Sunday night, I don't want to talk about it anymore. He's fed up with Antonio Brown. He says all the right things, Lee, about getting him help. This, I care about him. I'll tell you what, he's had his fill of Antonio Brown.
Oh, I'm sure he has. But you know what? 2 years ago, before they signed Brown, he said, hey, Bruce, you're going to win a Super Bowl with this guy, but you're also going to go through hell. What do you want to do? Let me go through hell. I want that ring. So to me, that's a no-brainer. Ira, your reaction to this. Pat McAfee yesterday, who's got friends on the Bucs coaching staff. He's obviously friends with a lot of NFL players. He's got a lot of contacts. I'm not saying he's Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport, but he knows people. He said he was told by someone close to Brown, and close to Brown, you know, could be Clyde Christensen, who I know was very tight with McAfee. Sean Murphy Bunting, I know, is tight with McAfee, just to throw a couple of names out. Now, I'm not saying they're his sources, but just as an example, he's got connections with people inside the Bucs, one Bucs files. McAfee said he was told, and this seems logical to me because Brown's such a nutcase, that Brown was peeved at the Bucs because they didn't show him enough support during a 3-game suspension.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Now, remember, Brown quit on the Steelers because he was not named team MVP. That went to Schuster instead, and he went mental about that. So that doesn't shock me, to be honest with you.
Lee, what more support do you want than being welcomed back with open arms? I mean,
yeah, you got a job, yeah.
And Steve, I'll mention one more thing. And you might say, well, that's the guy's job, and he does it well. Brown's agent. We've been in this business a long time, Steve. We know the source of a lot of these stories. The Rappaports, the Schefters, all of them. We know who's feeding people stuff. And 80% of the time, it's an agent. That's what's going on. They know everything that's going on in the league. Never want their name used. Their name is never used. And Brown's agent, the way I look at it, he planted a story with the right people suggesting that Brown was hurt, and they told him to go back in, and he said he was too hurt to go back in. They told him to go back in anyway.
Ah.
I find it's in 6 stories, you know, over the weekend in the wake of the Brown fiasco. These agents are everywhere, Steve. They plant stuff. They suggest stuff. And, of course, the payoff for the writer, you know, will keep you up to date on breaking news before it happens, which they do. It's all a bargain, Steve. That goes on. You've been in this business a long time. This whole thing about Brown being too hurt to go back in the game, that's shameful. Absolutely shameful.
Did he look hurt when he was doing jumping jacks in the end zone?
Unbelievable.
Sage, when you tell me I've been in this business a long time, it makes me sound like Tom Brokaw or something. I don't like that coming from you. I don't like that. Hey, look, a few things first. First, I do not think at all, Ira, that it's preposterous that Brown was hurt. Just last week, he didn't practice, was limited and then didn't practice. And Harold Goodwin, who's in the super straight shooter mold, noted that it seemed that he said that Brown tweaked his ankle. And obviously, he was coming off a serious ankle injury. So to say it's preposterous that he was hurt, that he said to Byron Leftwich, I'm not going back in now. My ankle's messed up, or I don't feel good. I don't think that's preposterous at all. In the heat of a battle, in the midst of what would have been the biggest upset in the National Football League of the season, you know, tempers get hot, stress is high. And I don't think it's preposterous at all that Brown said, I'm not going in. My ankle's messed up. I need a series off. I'll let you know. And maybe that set it off right there. I will say, of course, agents are planting stuff. But a Schefter's tight source, I'll tell you because it's obvious, is Mike Greenberg on the Bucs. They're from the same hometown. Greenberg's been on Schefter's podcast. I actually listened to that whole interview. And they're tight as could be. And McAfee, I don't know if people remember the story, McAfee got a call from Bruce Arians last year to be the Bucs' emergency punter in the postseason in case they had to go to somebody because of COVID. And not only was McAfee tight with coaches, I mean, he's worked closely with them. He was the emergency quarterback in Indianapolis when Arians was there, and also with Clyde Christensen. And so he was in on those meetings, and Arians used to do McAfee's shows years ago, pretty often when McAfee wasn't really the big star he is today. So I wouldn't be shocked if he just said, hey, Bruce, and got that information straight from the source. But who knows what's true, Ira? Like I started this podcast, we will never know what really happened, and we shouldn't believe anybody who tells us this is what really happened either. And eventually, I'm sure Antonio Brown will keep quiet and speak out on it. But it would, how funny would it be, Ira? And we'll get out of here. I want everyone to subscribe to the podcast wherever they're listening. If it's not at joebucksfan.com, leave a review. We appreciate the many thousands. We thank Bill Curry Ford for presenting all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Big Storm Beer, delicious. You have to try it. Florida's best craft beer and Florida's elite restoration. That's your first phone call for any disaster in your home or at your business. Sage, would it surprise you at all? Lee, you too. Would it surprise you, Sage, if Byron Leftwich is coaching head coach somewhere next year and one of his first phone calls is to Antonio Brown to come on in and help my young quarterback? And if you behave, we'll keep you.
Oh, yes, I would be shocked, because Leftwich saw firsthand both sides of Antonio Brown. You want to surround Trevor Lawrence with some young receivers, so you can do a Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. Now, that's high cotton, because that is one dynamic duo. But you get the picture. That's the direction that a Leftwich would go if he lands the Jacksonville job. Lee, two more quick responses to what Steve just said before. One, in a particular case, yeah, there might be a Mike Greenberg, there might be an Arians, but Lee, you'd agree, day in and day out, agents to a large degree drive the narrative for the national writers, to a large degree.
National writers, that was a perfect qualification. They don't have any use for local guys. National guys, yes.
Oh, and Lee, here's my second point about the possibility that Brown was indeed injured and that conversation took place. Lee, I think what's far more likely is that Brown wanted to play more than he was playing because of his incentives. You know him. He's all about the incentives. And I think he would have went out there with half an ankle if he had a chance. I think he was peeved that he wasn't playing as much as he wanted to. He wasn't getting as much snaps as he wanted to. Who knows what was going through that man's head? But as you said, those jumping jacks did not reveal a hampered ankle.
What you say on face value makes sense about the incentives, but by walking into the end zone, topless, doing jumping jacks, running into the tunnel, he just threw away $1 million worth of incentives. So I don't know if I can fully go there or not. Like a commenter on Joe Bucks Fan said about Brown being topless, doing jumping jacks in the end zone, and a New Jersey State Police refused to give him an escort because he was topless and didn't have his wallet on him, so they wouldn't give him a ride to the airport. The possible great thing about this is maybe Annie Agar does a topless video for her weekly video, so as a result of Brown. So that might be a positive.
Don't go there, DeKemper. By the way, Steve, I'm not sure the Nets want they may not want him back because, you know what? They lost the game with Brown sitting there. They lost.
Le'Veon Bell, like Steve said earlier, who would have thought 6 months ago Le'Veon Bell would be the Bucks running back? But here he is. Did he produce more, and did he have a bigger impact in the Bucks winning over the Jets than he did his entire days with the Chiefs?
I thought he looked a lot better than I thought he would, Lee. I'm with you. And you know what I remember most about Bell during his glory days in Pittsburgh? He had a very unusual running style, Lee. Very unusual. A lot of guys say, you got to hit the hole quick. You got to hit that hole. You can't dance around. Well, Lee, he was famous for kind of taking his time and waiting and seeing how it develops. It was a very interesting style. Not a lot of guys do that. He was very effective in doing it. And I thought he did it on Sunday a little bit. And the Buck offensive line, I think, is good enough to produce those holes where he doesn't have to hit it that hard. I'm not sure Bell's not going to be a big factor going forward.
Yeah, I remember Bell with the Steelers, like you said, at the height of his career, he would run to the line and stop and wait for a hole to develop. And then he would take on linebackers. He didn't have any problem with that. But yeah, he would run to the line and stop. He was so patient and just wait for maybe a split second for that hole to develop, then he'd bust through it.
Couple of things before I say goodbye. First, I do remember there was one game with the Chiefs that he had a big game last year. I remember I was playing him in Daily Fantasy, and so he at least had one very strong game with the Chiefs last year. But Sage, when Lee mentioned topless looking for police help, all I could think of and being denied was when you were on the beach with your stolen beach chairs saying, hey, officer, officer, and they just wouldn't help you because you didn't have any identification, and you said, I'm the Sage, and they just looked at you like you were crazy. But we'll end this podcast like we started, which is basically saying nobody knows what's going on with Antonio Brown. It's completely unpredictable, but it's fun to think about, and we'll keep monitoring these weird developments, and maybe, just maybe, Bucks fans will get lucky, and somehow he really was a distraction, and a cloud will have been lifted from the team, and some things, whatever they are, maybe they'll be a little bit better. Sage, we will see you later in the week. Glad you sound chipper and awake and alive for 2022, and we'll see you next time.